Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Always a great time to buy a car or any kind of vehicle, and you must deal with our good friends at Sunbury Motors. They're the best. All right. Play-by-play call of the day. Last night, downtown Phoenix, home of the Diamondbacks, Chase Field, the Cactus Bowl, UCLA and Kansas State, and Wyatt Thompson with the call from Learfield. Alex Barnes at Kansas State takes off.
Delton is in the pistol. Alex Barnes is running back. He'll get the call here in a big hole straight ahead. Alex Barnes will score! Touchdown, Kansas State, from 41 yards away!
41-yard touchdown run, one of the big turning points in the game. UCLA had some control for a while, but in the second half, Kansas State really came on. Delton, the quarterback, played great last night. I watched all this game. Kansas State beat UCLA 35-17. Our picks today include Dallas at Philadelphia, Carolina at Atlanta, Jacksonville at Tennessee, San Francisco at the Rams, and Buffalo at Miami. I believe all of us picked the same games last week. There were no differences. I think we all had the same picks last week. And you are about to overtake the suit in the bowl picks.
That's our plan.
The suit started out 6-2, started sending out boastful text messages.
Oh, he was. Yeah, he was throwing shade on the three of us. Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Yeah. And now, I forgot the suit lives in the silver medal, bronze medal world. And now he's about to go into the silver medal deal.
Yeah. At one point in the bowl picks, he was 9-3. Yeah. And, I'm getting ready to hopefully take the lead with a record of 12-7. So,
yeah. Well,
but it's early. There's many more to go. I really
as of right now, I get a participant ribbon. Oh my goodness! Oh man! Wow. Okay. By the way, the first Big Ten team in a bowl game is coming up. And that is Iowa. They'll play in the Pinstripe Bowl today against Boston College. You should have seen when I was out at Iowa, when was that, three and a half weeks ago? And they were going to announce the bowl picks the next day, and I asked Gary Dolphin, the great play-by-play guy for Iowa. Gary's really good. And and Gary said, I said, Gary, what are you hearing about Iowa's bowl possibilities? And I told him, I said, it's either the Cotton or the Fiesta. I said, it's one of the two. It depends on what they want to do with Ohio State. All right. And he goes, oh, okay. He says, well, he says, we're hearing either the Music City Bowl, he says, or the Pinstripe Bowl. I said, okay. He said, you've done the Pinstripe Bowl. He says, anything I should know about it? I said, how badly do you want to know?
During the 4 o'clock news, you should have shot him a text. Hey, how's that view from the press box?
I just said, I know when we did it, they gave us the Yankees broadcast booth. Really? I said, now think for a moment, Gary, where the Yankee broadcast booth would be.
So you could be sitting in John Sterling's chair right now.
Okay. I said, that would be the end zone. And the look on his face was like he just went into instant depression.
Take your binocs.
You know what? I don't use binoculars. I don't. Even a game like that. You know, I came up with this little trick years ago at FedEx Field. Remember that game Penn State played Indiana at FedEx down in Landover, the Redskins?
Right. That was, what, 2010, 2011, around in there?
Somewhere. I want to say 2010, maybe.
Yeah.
All right. And the crowd was, I mean, great Penn State crowd. Awesome. Well, they gave Indiana the Redskins broadcast booth, which is like the 50-yard line. They stuck us in a booth, Jack and me, in the corner of the end zone. Not at the goal line, in the corner, and low to the field. Now, if you're in the corner and you're up, you're okay. In fact, the Yankees broadcast booth, if the Yankees broadcast booth had been higher, it would have been no issue at all. But it's not. The Yankee broadcast booth, I mean, it's perfect for baseball. It's at a great spot for baseball. For football, all right, got to make the best of it. So just like the game in Landover, anything from the 50-yard line in coming toward you, we had a great handle on everything. I mean, the sight line's great, the whole, you know, everything. But the problem would be is that if you're trying to deal with the 50-yard line going away from you, and it turned out Penn State, the touchdown pass to Kyle Carter, was in that far end zone. So was the one to Geno Lewis, too. And what you do is, and I picked this up at Landover, it took me a little bit, like the second series of the game, I started looking at the head linesman and the line judge. All right. So when the play ended, I'd look, boom, where did they put that foot down? That's where I knew where the play finished. And I did the same thing for the pinstripe bowls I did for that game. You come up with ways of doing it. Okay? Number one, never complain about it. Never. You want to know why? Would you like to know the length of the line of people who want and would love to do my job? I mean, I'm not so sure that going to Philadelphia is long enough. So you don't sit there and go, oh, they put us here. Oh, it's like, you don't do that. You come up with ways to fix it. Okay? You come up with ways to fix it. You come up with solutions. Because 9 times out of 10, it's great. I mean, the Rose Bowl last year, I was at the 45-yard line at the Rose Bowl last year. Perfect. I mean, if I botched it up, it was my fault. Now, here in Glendale, I don't know. I've never been in the stadium before. Don't know. Find out. Maybe it's great. And I mean, maybe we end up with the Cardinals. I think Penn State's the home team for the game, the higher ranked team. So we'll see. Whatever we get, we get. Not going to wreck my experience. Every game I do, I thoroughly enjoy. Now, the team you broadcast for, you want to see win. It makes it better, believe me. I'll never forget driving out of New York the next day. I remember I went to Mass at St. Patrick's, and then because it was St. Patrick's was just like 2 blocks down from where we stayed. And then, boom, got in the car, drove home that day. And it was a great drive because they won the game. All right, so we were debating this yesterday. Are there too many bowl games? And you know how I feel about this, Sean. Hey, we have today channels all over the place. Are there too many news channels? Are there too many sports channels? Are there too many Hallmark channels? Are there too many pay cable channels? It doesn't matter. Hey, the question is whether they can support it. And so it's not a question of are there too many bowl games? Is it diluting the bowl games? If you look at the game, and you know, it may be a deal where you've got some free time, and yeah, you're looking around, like, hey, I'll watch a game tonight. Well, okay. Or if you've got something else to do, you do it. Or if there's something else on you'd rather watch, you watch it. If you want to go to a movie, go to a movie. But you have the option. So it's every time I hear, there's too many bowl games. Okay, who said you had to watch? Nobody said you had to watch.
I'll admit, leading up to today, I've watched more bowl games than I originally planned. Then again, I had off last week, so I had more free time.
Right. I'm trying to think. The first day, I watched none. I may have watched, because remember, I was driving that day. That was the, Christopher graduated from college that day from Lock Haven. And then I took my family out to the tavern for dinner. And from there, then I left the tavern and I drove to Virginia. So I didn't get in until like, I don't know, quarter after 10:30 at night, and I was exhausted. I remember I went to Keith Ergo and Ross Condon was sitting down in the bar area, and I went down for 10 minutes, and they were like, ah, boy, we're tired. We're going to go to sleep. And I was like, I mean, I said, you got that right. I'm done. I mean, I went back to my room, and I was out cold. So, I mean, I watched no bowl games the opening day at all. None, because I was, you know, doing a graduation, a commencement, and driving, whatever. Then the next day was Sunday. You know, so the Patriot, as you know, the Patriot-Steelers game, I listened to on the radio driving home. I didn't start listening until, what, a couple minutes ago in the third quarter? Because I had a game. Then it was Monday Night Football. And then Tuesday night, I had another game Tuesday night. So I didn't see whatever bowl game it was that night. Then Wednesday, was it that Gasparilla Bowl? I watched a little bit of that from St. Petersburg. My son Mike got here with his son and his wife on Thursday. So I spent time with them. And then Mike and I watched a little bit of a game together. Friday night, I think I watched a little bit of a game Friday night. Saturday, we watched the Packers-Vikings game. But we opened up gifts on Saturday, too. So we were doing this. After that, we watched the Packers and the Vikings. And then on Christmas Eve, see, everybody, you know, Mike left Christmas Eve. Dan didn't left Christmas. I'd take Megan to the airport to go back to Guam on early Christmas morning. I mean, I was driving to the airport at 5:30 in the morning on Christmas Day. And Christmas Eve, we did watch some of the Hawaii Bowl. And yesterday, I watched all the Cactus Bowl last night. I watched the whole thing, and I've been watching this Independence Bowl here for a little while. And I'm going to watch the Pinstripe Bowl today. Because, as you know, it's not going to take me long to pack. I just mentioned that to Kathy upstairs. She's rolled her eyes.
Three sheets or shirts to the wind. Sorry.
I said to her, I said, look, I said, if I ever forget something, I said, it's not like that. Like there's not places to shop in these places I go to. I said, if I have to go over to the mall and get something, I'll go over to the mall and get something.
You're not
something.
Out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't stick us someplace.
In the middle of the desert? No.
Up by the Grand Canyon in the middle of the desert somewhere where I got to hike 20 miles to get to a place. I can look at them and say, look, I need to take the van over. Okay, great. Yeah, some idiot forgot socks. I mean, that's how it went scheduled for me. And I literally, I mean, 23rd, 24th, 25th, I did zero work. None. In fact, I spent some time today doing some basketball work to make sure I was ahead of the game for Tuesday. Because my turnaround is very quick. I'll probably do some basketball work on the plane flying back from Phoenix on Sunday. Because you got to remember, we're getting back Sunday from Phoenix. And I have to leave Monday. In fact, what I'll probably do on Monday, Sean, is I'll probably leave here like noon or 1 o'clock. Go down to Maryland. And I'll probably watch the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl in their entirety down there. So, yeah, I'll do the game Tuesday and then come back. And then national championship game, I'm going to have to watch in Bloomington, Indiana. Because I got a basketball game the next day at Assembly Hall. And ironically, it's not the first time I've ever watched the national championship game in Bloomington. I've done it before. One of these days, I'm going to watch it with my own eyes and talk at the same time. Because at some point, James Franklin is going to get them to a national semifinal and into the final. I just see it. I sense it. I feel it. The way they've recruited, the way they've been able to put everything together. You just sense it. I mean, I was probably there for 3.5 hours on Wednesday last week on letter of intent day. And in fact, I got to announce Pat Freiermuth, the tight end from Marshfield, Massachusetts, went to the Brooks School. So he was the player they asked me to announce. I said, okay. They were thrilled with how they did. And we've had several guests on talking about how they cleaned up, and they're not done yet. Okay? That was the bulk of it, but they aren't done. There is still a late signing period that takes place the first Wednesday in February. Okay? They are still very actively recruiting players. They are not done. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Dear Santa, it's your friend Billy. Thank you for the Kia Sorento from Sunbury Motors Kia. I'm so glad I was on the nice list, but what happened to the Red Ryder lever action BB gun?
We wanna see ya in a Kia.
On Santa's nice list, like Billy, then get into Sunbury Motors Kia this week. You can drive way in a brand new 2018 Kia for just $299 a month. That's right, for just $299 a month, you can lease a 2018 Kia Sorento L, Niro, Optima Hybrid, or Kia Sportage. $299 a month with no money down, and that includes tax and tags. Every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. If a new Kia wasn't under your tree, get into Sunbury Motors Kia this week. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at SunburyMotorsKia.com.
Offer available on select 2018 Kias to qualified buyers through KMF Financing. Advertised lease rates based on 36 monthly payments of $299 a month with zero down. Mileage restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
All right, Penn State and Washington coming up on Saturday at 4 o'clock. You'll hear the game on News Radio 1070 WKOK and on WKOK.com. With the Neats and Watson tailgate show starting at 2:30. The Washington's really good defensively. They're really good defensively. Miles Gaskin is a really good running back. Dante Pettis is a great punt returner. He's a really good receiver. They use their tight ends well. Their offensive line is decent. And Jake Browning is a very good quarterback. Is he a great quarterback? No, but he's very good. He kind of gives me that Greg McElroy feeling, maybe a step and a half above a game manager that can make some plays and not dynamic, but can make some plays. And he moves a little bit better than people realize. But for all the buildup, and we talk about Washington's got this and they got that and they got Vita Vea and blah, 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 blah. Penn State's a better team. A better team. Okay. The Washington people should be looking at Penn State. So, I mean, they got McSorley, they got Barkley, they got Gesicki, they got Deshaun Hamilton, they got Kabinda, they got Marcus Allen. Like, you know, remember, you know, sometimes you get so locked in on who the other guy has, Vita Vea, Dante Pettis, Miles Gaskin, Jake Browning, Will Disley, you know, Aaron Fuller, and, you know, Greg Gaines, and blah, 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 blah. Sometimes you forget who you have. I can tell you right now, one of the keys to the game, we have to do that segment, Keys to the Game. I'll tell you right now what mine is. To me, all the bowl games that I've now done over decades here, and something that I feel is a determining factor is which quarterback gets in rhythm the earliest. It's been 5 weeks since either one played in a competitive game. The Apple Cup game with Washington State was the same day Penn State played Maryland. So neither team has played in 5 weeks. So which team, after a five-week game layoff, they've had a lot of practices, but a five-week game layoff and can find its rhythm the quickest in the passing game? That's where the timing comes in. A lot of what Trace McSorley does. You notice how this year there hasn't been as much talk about 50-50 balls. Have you noticed that, Sean? That's because Penn State's pass game, which is coordinated by Ricky Ronnie anyway, is one that the timing of it is so important. They want a wide variety of routes, including a lot of crossing routes now. And it's dependent on Trace McSorley getting the ball there and then leading receivers into the yards after the catch. So, and you watch Washington, they do a lot of the same thing. He uses Coleman and Gaskin pretty well. He uses tight ends pretty well. Disley, Smart, and then Hunter Bryant. I don't think Hunter Bryant's playing in the game, though. He's a really, really good, big-time talent. I think Drew Sample, the other tight end, he used it pretty well, and there's a lot of timing with what the Washington passing game does. But you can get a lot of pressure on him. He moves better than people realize. But which quarterback can get into a rhythm and kind of get back to that midseason form the quickest? That normally, to me, is one of the keys in a game like this. Because, again, it's been 5 weeks since you played a competitive game against someone else. All right, the pick segment coming up next. My brother joins us for the final time in 2017. Then when he comes back on January 5th, it'll be the first time for 2018.
And he'll still be hungry for pickles.
Oh, I know he will be. Blame him?
No.
Can you blame him?
No.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us. Happy holidays from us to you. Now, we'll be the shows tomorrow and Friday with the shows from Scottsdale. We're loaded up with guests. Tomorrow will be Lou Prado on the history of Penn State Washington, Dick Girardi on Penn State basketball, Todd Sadowski and Trey Bauer from the Blue White Tailgate TV show that the three of us host together. We'll do a roundtable tomorrow from 4:06 to 5. And then coming up on Friday's show, Jack Ham, Derek Williams, and from the Washington Radio Network, Bob Rondo and Damon Heward. So because of that, my brother has kindly agreed to join the show today to do picks because we are loaded the next 2 days from the Fiesta Bowl.
How's it going?
Great. Thanks for the great text message.
Oh,
appreciate
good.
That. Yeah.
I said Merry Christmas.
No, that was great. No, I texted you back.
That was easy.
And obviously we went to Staples.
I went everywhere. I got a whole bunch of buttons. I'll stop. I got four. You want more? You can have more.
Minions? Is that Minions?
I don't know what they are. Is this Minions? This is.
I think it was Minions.
Yeah, I don't like that one. I like this one.
That happens to be the sound of my picks.
You sunk my battleship.
I used to have an intercom throughout the building here, and people would walk through the door, and I'd click on, you know, intercom, and I'd light those off. One guy thought he ran into the side of the building. He ran out of the building.
Oh, goodness.
I'm very childlike.
Jones Metal CEO having fun again.
Yeah, CEO, president, secretary, treasurer.
No, that's called a third world country.
Yeah.
And I left out residential stationary engineer.
I think Cuba has the same system, don't they?
I have fun. I like to tell myself jokes, so I'm good. So,
there you go.
Yeah. So, boy, the college games are wild, huh? I was impressed by Army. Of all the teams, Army was the team that impressed me a lot.
I missed that game. Was that game Saturday?
Yes.
Yeah. Took me by. I didn't pick them. You know, I was like, they're going to get killed after. And they just
San Diego State had the ball 14 minutes in the game.
Yeah.
Okay, and scored 30. How many points? San Diego State only had 4 third downs the entire game. I mean, Rashard Penny ran for 189 yards, and they lost.
Army just kept the ball, kept banging it at them. I think they were totally taken by surprise. Did Army throw a pass? I'm not sure.
I think they threw one.
Yeah, I mean, that's just amazing. You know, that's just college football at its best, and good for Army.
Yeah, Adam Amin called that on ESPN. It's a great call, as always.
Yeah.
Adam's really good.
Yeah, so, a lot of good games, you know, some blowouts, but Army really impressed me, man. They're back. They're literally back. They're good.
Well, you know what? But you want to know what's really helped them get back?
What's that?
Is that they do on campus a training exercise where it is exhausting. And what it used to be right before training camp, they would do it. Huge training exercise. Ever since they moved it back to May, I think, they've actually been able to go to training camp, and instead of having their alignment at 205 pounds, they've been able to play games.
Right, right.
I mean, that's been actually a big move for them that people have not really talked about.
It makes sense. You know, it's got to be something. I know they changed their offense, but they still bang the ball. I love bang the ball football. I think that's why the Eagles are probably going to be in the Super Bowl. Well, I don't know. The Vikings are looking really good. But
the Eagles are struggling. You know what? I don't like the way Philadelphia's playing the last 2 weeks. They need the week off, which they've got. They've got, obviously, you've got Minnesota dome team, New Orleans dome team, Atlanta dome team, Los Angeles Rams, Southern California team, and you've got, Carolina Panthers, the Southern team, that are in this.
Well, I look at it this way. If the teams that peak, like the Giants, won the Super Bowl, the last two times they won the Super Bowl, they were not the best team in football, but they peaked at the right time. Remember the year they won 5 in a row? They went to Green Bay and won?
Yeah.
And they were not the best team in football, and then they beat the Patriots.
Right.
But you got to peak at the right time, and if you're going to fall down now.
Right.
The Eagles have been good all year, you know? And if they're going to struggle now. I'm not an Eagle fan, but I love the way they can run the ball. And they can bring in a new quarterback and still win. You know?
Truth be told, I'm surprised at the amount of Eagles fans that are panicking. Could it just be a game and a half where Nick's off a little bit and will he right the ship?
When you've never won a Super Bowl, and the Eagles have not, all right, when you've never won one, and now you get this close, and the guy that was the key to the whole thing gets hurt and goes down, you know, you feel like, wow, you feel like this was your shot to get it. I mean, you've got everything lined up the way you want it to, except for the most valuable player on the team. And that has nothing to do with Nick Foles. Nick Foles is a backup for a reason.
And he's a good quarterback, and they can flat out run the ball. And if you can run the ball, you can beat anybody. Ask Army. You know, I don't know who's going from the NFC. It's probably be the Eagles or the Vikings, but the Vikings are a great story.
I think the team that's dangerous in the NFC is the Saints.
True. Very true.
That's the team that can run the ball. Look at, you know, Alan Kamara.
And you got a quarterback.
Just remember, what do running games do? Doesn't matter the weather.
Set up the pass.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but running games
keep the other team off
travel.
The field.
They travel.
Oh,
your running game travels. Your running game can go through any kind of weather condition.
Mm-hmm. You can play anywhere. Can anyone beat the Patriots?
Well, now they got James Harrison. Much to the chagrin of Steeler fans.
Belichick is just... he doesn't need Harrison. He just did it to make people mad in Pittsburgh. That's all.
Yeah, it's just one more advantage he wants to win games. Yeah.
He wants a situational pass rusher. James Harrison could be that guy.
Yeah,
there's a little bit of tongue-in-cheek with
him. Oh, there's gamesmanship there. You know, no question.
It's like sending Collins to Cleveland and sending Garoppolo to San Francisco, you know. I'm going to trade you to Cleveland because I don't like you. You know, he does things to make the team better, but he also has another agenda.
And look at what Garoppolo has done, though, with San Francisco.
Oh, unbelievable. Yeah, and good for him because he's a good man. He's a good NFL football player, and he's good in the community. He was great in the community for the Patriots, and you knew he wasn't happy.
That's led a lot of people to ask, why did Belichick get rid of him if he was that good?
He probably waited too long to get his best value. He couldn't. It's the million-dollar question. I mean, he got rid of him. Not got rid of him. He traded him when he could get the most for him, but he would have got more for him had he let him go before the year. So,
right.
It's kind of bizarre what he did. So, not really, but I mean, if they still had Garoppolo, oh my gosh! Now if Brady goes down, you know, I'm sure it's killing him right now. But good for Jimmy Garoppolo because he's a really good guy, and he learned under one of the best ever.
Yeah, for every win he gets, his salary's going up.
Yeah, he's never lost an NFL game. He's 6-0.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Rolling on, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Jimmy GQ.
That shows how important a quarterback is in the NFL or in college, too. You know,
no doubt.
That quarterback changes the entire game, changes the whole team. Everybody plays a little bit better, you know.
Well, everybody in Green Bay agrees with what you just said.
There are only 32 of these positions available. There are only probably 15 or 16 that can actually play it. I mean, and on a planet of 7 billion people, only 15 or 16 are actually competent enough to play quarterback in the NFL.
Think about the Niners back in, what was it, the 80s? You know, they had Joe Montana and they had Steve Young playing backup, you know?
Yeah. Right.
They move Montana, they bring in another Hall of Fame quarterback. That's just amazing.
Amazing. It is amazing. That's how you end up on a great run like they had.
Yeah. Yep. So, anyway.
All right. So, what do we have here?
Okay, well, let's do our regular season finale picks, and once we get that out of the way, I'll have the standings all fixed up for next week. All right, Eagle 107. Sunday, 1 o'clock, we've got Dallas. And, ironically, I just spoke about them a few minutes ago, the Philadelphia Eagles.
Cowboys.
Sean?
Wow. I'll take Philly.
I'm also going with Philly. I think the Cowboys have quit. So.
I see where Steve's coming from. Meaningless game.
Right.
Yeah. Pride factor.
I think Philly's
rival.
Got some work to do, what we just talked about. I don't think they want to crawl into the playoffs. I think they want to keep the steam. And they have a quarterback that they have to play. I mean, they can't rust. He needs work.
Truth be told, I was surprised that Seattle beat Dallas. I was very surprised at that.
I think Nate Sudfeld is going to play a chunk of this game in the second half for Philadelphia. Because
you're
guess what?
You're probably right, because they don't want him to get hurt. So.
Right, well, it's more than Foles getting hurt. They've got to get Nate Sudfeld in a game just to get him in a game.
Yeah, that's true.
Played at least a half,
I'm
you think?
I'm still going with Philly. I think Dallas is a flawed team, and they need to make changes up top.
Well, Sean, I'm
Jerry Jones getting out of there. So,
Sean, I'm a major proponent that when you change personnel, you play your starters through the first series of the second half, because I think you still need to keep them in the routine of coming out of the locker room, breaking a sweat, then you take them out of the game.
Bill Cowher said it for the longest time. He said one of the most important drives of the entire game is your first drive of the second half.
Yeah.
Especially if you get the ball first.
Right.
Yep.
Yep.
That's why Belichick always defers.
I keep that stat on my board all the time about drive starts, things like that. I've got all that stuff.
Now, remember Indianapolis Colts back when?
Yeah.
They were what?
Yeah.
14-0. And they sat out the last two games to rest the team, and they lost the first round of the playoff.
Yeah. That's right.
And Peyton Manning said it was the dumbest thing we could have done.
Yeah, there were a lot of people gave Tony Dungy a lot of guff about that, too.
Yeah, it was a bad move. You're rusty, you know, if you're not in game shape anymore.
Exactly. So, and again, you've got it.
The Giants, back to what I said about the Giants before, they just rolled. They got on a roll, and they just kept on going, and they steamrolled teams.
Because they stayed in the rhythm of playing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so we got all divisional matchups on Sunday to wrap up the regular season. Mm-hmm. We go south for Carolina and the Falcons.
I'll stick with the road team. I'll go with Carolina. I think Carolina's playing really well right now. Atlanta is a real mystery team, mixed bag.
I've got Carolina.
I also have Carolina and agree with you 100%. Okay. Atlanta's got all the tools. Matt Ryan's not having his best year. So.
Okay, we'll stay in the South and change conferences. Jacksonville and the Titans.
Tennessee needs this game badly. Mm-hmm. I mean, they need it. They needed last week's game badly. Didn't get done. So I'll roll the dice and I'll go with Tennessee at home, even though I think Jacksonville, especially defensively, is better.
You
but I'll take Tennessee.
Tennessee is due, but boy, Mariota is, boy, he is really, whew.
I know.
And they lead the league in interceptions.
Yeah.
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 Boy.
I'm just gonna do it based on knee, because I think Tennessee is that last playoff spot right now, right?
I believe so.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Jacksonville.
Okay. I'm Jacksonville also.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Tennessee. Tennessee is a couple players away.
I agree with you. I completely agree with you. I think you guys made great picks. I'm just going to roll the dice on the fact that Tennessee needs it and they're at home, and maybe that's enough. Maybe.
Yep. They can win.
Okay, out west, we got San Francisco. We were talking about Jimmy G a few seconds ago. San Fran and the Rams.
I think this is a really tough game to pick.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
I mean, really tough game to pick. I am going to go... let's give credit where credit's due. The Rams are playing great against anybody. So I'll take the Rams, even though I think the Niners are going to give them a whale of a game.
I will take the 49ers.
I'm rolling with the 49ers also. They got a mojo going. And
yeah.
Who knows? You're right. What a tough game to pick. They're both playing very well.
Yeah.
And San Francisco's getting publicity that they love, so we'll go for it. So
I only get some positive publicity, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I feel good for Robbie Gould.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hope Sam Ficken hangs. That'd be good.
That was a tough start for him, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah, missed an extra point and a field goal. But then he settled down. You notice how the players rallied around him? Sam Ficken, same thing with Robbie Gould. They're two of the nicest guys you've ever wanted to be around.
I'll give the Rams credit yesterday. They came right out and said, we're sticking with Ficken. He's going to be our kicker for Sunday again. So
good.
Kudos to them.
That.
Yep.
Good.
All about confidence.
All right, one more here. We got Buffalo and the Dolphins.
Oh.
Well, I threw that. I didn't want to throw in the Jets and the Pats.
That's a perfect game, because who's going to win? Who cares?
I'm going to go with Buffalo. I think they're slightly better. Even and now, if the game were in Buffalo at Orchard Park, it would be a slam dunk.
Buffalo. Well, a couple of weeks ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'll take the Bills. Why not?
Buffalo.
I think they'll just be so happy they're in sunshine.
But they got like 5 feet of snow, right?
Oh yeah, Erie's bad. Yeah. Erie's really bad. Yeah. They got 60 inches of snow.
That's unbelievable.
That was an all-time Pennsylvania record.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh. Yep, I'll go with Buffalo.
All I know is if it's 78 in Phoenix today, 24 hours from now, I'll be standing there.
So, we'll be so happy for you.
No, you won't.
It's 2 degrees here.
No, you won't. You will be mad like you always are.
I'll be throwing crap at the TV.
Yeah, but Kevin,
throw away, my man. I'm still staying out there.
But Kevin, we got Mr. Tech Savvy, you know, the name who's on the title of the show. It's not like he's going to go on Snapchat and throw a whole bunch of pictures on social media, rubbing it in our faces. At least we don't have to worry about that. So,
during the commercials, I'll be bringing the dog. I'll freeze my butt off. I'll be thinking, good old Steve. I'm glad my brother's nice and cozy warm.
I'll think of me New Year's Day when I'm driving down to Maryland. Hurry up. Hurry up. Do something. Yeah. Nice. Well, A, I won't have a dog with me. And B, if I did, it would be 78. So.
And he already went.
That's right.
I got Buffalo, too.
All right. So. Buffalo for all three.
Remember, I like to point out to everyone, I do basketball games in the Big Ten. Yeah, just so everyone knows, at some point, I've got to go to Nebraska. I got to go to Minnesota. I got to go to Chicago. Okay,
I'm going to watch the Weather Channel. Yeah. It's snowing and raining. Oh,
Kev, did I ever tell you the story about the Rose Bowl a few years ago? I do the Rose Bowl game, and the next game is at Minnesota. I'm going football to basketball. Mm-hmm. So I get in the cab at 5 a.m. to go to the airport. I actually flew out of Burbank, and it was 57 degrees. Right now, 5 a.m. That's fine. It's very comfortable.
Yeah, sure.
Drive to the airport. Fly to Dallas. Then I fly from Dallas into Minneapolis. I get off the plane in Minneapolis. It is 46 below zero. I am standing there waiting for a cab, realizing I've just gone through a 103-degree temperature change. Right? And I'm thinking to myself, what am I doing?
Your nose freezes. You can't even breathe.
You can't breathe. You can't do anything. I'm standing there like, okay, now, this thought just crossed my mind seconds ago. They're going to put a Super Bowl there?
But the stadium looks gorgeous.
Oh, my goodness. Who thought that up?
46 below. I don't even know what that feels like.
46.
And I don't want to know.
I couldn't believe it. And there was a guy that took an airport hotel van to get me to the hotel. And I was standing out there waiting for this guy. I'm like, this is insane.
You only packed 3 shirts for that, too, didn't you?
Oh, it was only a 3-day trip.
Make us feel good, Sean.
Well, no, that's the greatest temperature change I've ever experienced in, I don't know, was it 10 hours?
I don't think you'll ever experience that again.
I'm standing there going,
the bottom
you are...
line is current. And currently, we're freezing our butts off, and you're going to Arizona.
Excuse me. Currently, it's 8 degrees here.
And you're leaving. Your weather comes to us here in Connecticut. Goody, it's going to be 8 tomorrow.
Just so you know, I don't think it's very good to put down my intelligence for leaving.
I am jealous, I will admit it.
I mean, I would not stand there and cut down my intelligence considering I'm the one going in your state. I think the question should be more internal, don't you?
I'll be falling on my butt freezing. Goodbye.
Yeah, I'll think of that tomorrow.
If it makes you feel
going
get
down,
better.
You know how you're going down, arms and legs in the air.
Yeah.
I hope I can get up.
If it makes you feel any better, I'll think about you in the pregame show and text you.
Oh. Means more than you'll ever know. And I mean that.
Let me put it this way. Okay, this whole, and seriously, the bottom line in this whole thing, got to win the game.
Yes.
Right, that's the bottom line.
Go Penn State.
Right,
got to
win the game.
Have a safe trip. Happy New Year, you guys.
Happy New Year. Don't forget, I'll be back. Let's see, Sunday we fly back. Then I got to drive to Maryland Monday. Tuesday show will be at Maryland. All right, then we're finally back here in the Sunbury Motor Studio on Wednesday. Happy New Year, everybody.
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.